Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins. All right. Okay. So for today's question, it's a long one, so we might do it in two episodes, but let's actually jump right into it because, man, it's gold here. So here is the question. What are your thoughts on launching fully online in the spring of 2021 and then going to a physical launch for the church in the fall? So that's a year from now. Well, at the time of this recording, at least. So is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Is it sustainable from spring to fall? What things need to be in place prior to doing some of it? What are some of the advantages and disadvantages to doing it? And would you recommend it considering the presence of COVID and likely the ongoing continued presence of COVID at that time? All right, so let's break this up a little bit. Let's start with the idea of launching fully online in spring of 2021 and then doing a physical launch in the fall.
Okay. So I would say, first of all, if we don't know when a vaccine is going to come and we don't know what spring is going to look like. If spring looks like what church looks like now in most of at least the states where I am, then I would say, yeah, it's a great idea as long as you have groups and preferably those groups meet in person. So there's a lot of churches that may not even have, they may have an online service, but they're still allowing their small groups to meet. Especially if those don't have kids or if they can do it outside. Springtime, you're looking at being able to get outside a little bit more. So you're, again, your people are always going to be stickier than your preaching. And if you can save money by not having a physical location, then awesome. Don't do it for a while. But still, if you don't get those people connected to other people, you're competing against anybody in the world, not just the church down the street that you can get to, because I can get to any church online.
Yeah.
That's so right. You're competing against the world at that point. The other thing is, having to be laser focused in your launch. If you're using Facebook ads, if you're using whatever it is you're using, being laser focused on the people that are able to attend your church, you know, heavy 3 mile radius, heavy 6 mile radius. And then, you know, beyond that, it starts to get diminishing returns. But thinking about all of that, I would say, man, it's still a unique idea. And I think it could be a good idea, but there's still a lot of unknowns.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. We can look at this in a few different ways, right? You could look at it and this, I'll put a lot of assumptions in this. If this individual says, I mean, the individual said, what about launching fully online in the spring of 21? So if that's the case and it's a full launch, then my assumption is that there is a launch team. And my assumption is that small groups have been happening and there have been core group meetings and all of that has been happening. So my assumption is that when you launch fully online in spring of 2021, it's not just you launching online and trying to get people through Facebook ads or through and not having a core team or actual people in your neighborhood that you're doing this with. But so that's the assumption, right? That it's always people first, because church, as we all know, is not just the weekend gathering and it's not just the weekend service. And like you said, Todd, I mean, anyone can tune into any stream online. I mean, every Saturday night, right? I get notifications and different churches and different her and he was like, hey, we're going live. We're going live. We're going live. And you see that starting from Saturday and through Sunday. So yeah, there's, I think it would be a big failure if you try to do kind of like the launching a course or launching an online brand or like you're following marketing a course, or if that's what you're reading and you're reading that to launch online, you're reading the wrong stuff. Because what you need to do is you need to be present with people. And I think the thing that is really rising to the surface in the midst of COVID is the importance of local connections, of neighboring with one another, and the importance of lingering and being incarnational and contextual in your neighborhood, and how that is what is the stickiest thing. It's not preaching, it's not music, it's not any of that. And if you're launching fully online in spring of 21, you're not going to be the best preacher, and you're not going to have the best music, and you're not going to have the best service, right? I just put it out there. I know you might have a big budget or whatnot, but you're just not, because it's impossible. It's impossible, right? Because you just don't have the reps behind you in that. So having said that, when it comes to this strategy, if you are actually launching physically through groups before you launch online in spring of 21, then I think it could work. But if launching fully online in spring means that's kind of when you get started, and then you're hoping to do a physical launch in the fall, I think you should actually flip it and say, hold off on the online until much later. In the spring of 21, that is when you start recruiting. That's when you start praying. That's when you start doing dinner parties and neighboring, and you have your third spaces, and you're recruiting, and you're doing that, and you're building community and praying over your neighborhood and doing prayer works. That is when you start there, and then say, start there, build that, multiply groups, and then actually launch in the fall. And whether that's physical or online, I would actually opt for physical and not online, even if it means in your local jurisdiction, you can't gather more than 25 people or 50 people. Let's say it still is that, right? I would still say launch physically rather than online. Push online as much as you can, because as a church planter, your greatest strength is going to be the time you can spend building into people and discipling people, and because you don't have all the other baggage that a traditional church might have.
Oh, that's a really good point. I do think regardless, the neighboring element, and that seems to be a phrase that I'm hearing more and more. It's not gospel centered yet. Hmm. but it definitely is catching on. No, because flipping it like that does provide that unique, on ramps as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting, because at the time of this recording, we've met for 3 weeks now on the weekend, and the majority of our church is still online. And honestly, when we meet together as a church, yeah, it's not the same, but I love it. Right. And it's a small portion. It's about 20% of our pre-COVID attendance is coming in person. And I absolutely love the fact that I can see and talk and connect with our church family, right? But that's only 20%. Yeah, I know we read books like the 80-20 rule and all that stuff, and maybe this is what that is, right? You got the hardcore 20% that are going to be your missionaries moving into the future. Maybe that's what that is. But just compare that to this fact of having 100% in the room, right? So as a church planner, if you had 100% of your launch team or your core group or your church together, and yeah, that might be 20 people, that might be 50 people. I would just throw, honestly, until COVID's done and everything kind of goes back to some semblance of normal, I would just throw away the whole launch large strategy. So in church planting and launching a campus, I wouldn't throw it away permanently. I think it's too early to say that, but I would really put it aside and say, how do you launch small, and how do you launch strong and small? Because you can be sustainable if you are launching small, you can be sustainable. I know the launch large methodology, the whole idea is that, hey, with the launch large and you have more than 200 people, you can afford several full-time staff and a building and all that stuff. But if you're launching small, you're not going to have the same overhead and you're probably not going to have to be full-time. So how do you launch bivocationally, co-vocationally, small? And when you gather, you have 100% of your church. Imagine what the gospel impact could be.
I think that's a, it's got to be a, yeah, it's a group strategy. Mm-hmm. There's a friend of mine who's from England, who's half crazy, but awesome nonetheless. He did this like 15 years ago in like Elizabethtown or Bardstown, Kentucky, where it was primarily a church of small groups, and they met once a month for, you know, like Sunday service, a big worship gathering, but that was it. And so I thought that was just fascinating, but he did it, you know, from a strategic standpoint, both financially, and he just thought, you know, groups would be stickier than anything he could do, and that it could potentially scale faster.
So how about we do this? That's an interesting way that our conversation has ended, and I do think we answered this individual's question, at least given our opinion on it. But how about next time we get together, so on episode 532, the next episode is going to be Ed and I, because we do alternate, but on episode 532, why don't we talk about launching through what the makeup of a bivocational or co-vocational team could look like when you're launching in that way, possibly for a campus and also for a church plant. So we'll talk about staff configurations, and I know that's the kind of stuff that Todd and I could talk for hours on. So we'll try to do it in 10-15 minutes next episode. All right. Thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.